My name's Dave Modi. I'm a PhD student at Cornell University, and this is some of the work that I did at Penn State in my master's research on a somewhat controversial topic on the use of molasses-based biostimulants in the influence on organic matter decomposition. So first off, why would we want to enhance organic matter decomposition, as that's generally seen as a beneficial component of the soil, particularly in agriculture? Well, as you're aware, turfgrass systems are somewhat unique in that utility is paramount. And we also use aggressive turf varieties, which generally create biomass at a rate exceeding decomposition. So this can lead to an accumulation of excessive superficial organic matter. And this can be manifested in the formation of an excessive thatch layer. So what would I consider as thatch? Well, thatch is an accumulation of living and dead stolons, leaf, and root tissue, and it's generally characterized as having a high lignin and cellulose content. And it becomes exceedingly obvious when you have an excessive thatch layer, and it's quite visible here in this photograph. So what are some of the effects of thatch? Well, one is that once thatch is dry, it can resist wetting, which can be problematic, and once wet, it can dry out rapidly. So this can lead to the development of localized dry spot. You may also see some problems with mower scalping. And not only are these unsightly, but they can also affect turfgrass performance and overall turfgrass health. Additionally, there may be some problems with pathogen susceptibility. The thatch layer may harbor these pathogens, as well as reduce the efficacy and recovery of plant protectants and fertilizers, respectively. Now, one thing I really want to stress is the importance of microorganisms in the transformation of organic material, or the biotic organic matter transformations in the soil. And like most aspects of soil microbiology, it's a very complex dynamic system and process. And it can be affected by carbon nutrient availability, as well as the water status of the soil, temperature, pH, things like that. And I included this photograph to show these two cores were taken from the same approach. One was at the lower end of a slope, and this plug here was taken from a wetter, poorly drained section of an approach, whereas this is taken from a more adequately drained section of the approach. And it just shows that there, even across a very small area, there can be some differences in the rate of organic matter decomposition and the rate of formation as well. And that's why studying thatch is so difficult due to the variability across a very small area. In addition to biotic transformations, golf course superintendents or turf managers have several strategies for removing excessive superficial organic matter. That includes core cultivation, vertical mowing, and top dressing. Some of the problems associated with these techniques is that they can be disruptive, and they're also quite labor intensive. So really, the objective of our study was to evaluate the efficacy of this biostimulant IMOL on microbial activity and subsequent organic matter transformations of a thatch layer or superficial organic material. And really to evaluate this product as a potential minimally invasive thatch control tool. And I have this citation here for Bupathy et al. 2001. This was a study conducted at LSU where they evaluated a one-time molasses application to post-harvest sugarcane residue. And they measured increased microbial populations in the soil, as well as an enhanced rate of lignin and cellulose decomposition. So I really wanted to see if these sort of findings would carry over and translate into a turf setting. So now I'm going to discuss my materials and methods. And I'm going to first show you how we're going to quantify microbial activity before I talk about where we sampled our soil cores and things like that, because I want you to be able to see where we're going to go, so it makes a little bit more sense while I explain how we got there. So we're going to quantify microbial activity by measuring evolved carbon dioxide from incubated soil cores in these airtight flow cells. So you have the soil plug in the flow cell, and there's an incoming flux of carbon dioxide free air. The efflux from these flow cells is then bubbled into sodium hydroxide solution. And as the carbon dioxide dissolves into solution, it reacts with sodium hydroxide forming bicarbonate, and this reaction can be measured by the changing electrical conductivity, or EC, of that solution. So In addition to collecting or to taking this EC data, we performed titrations on identical sodium hydroxide solutions that had different ECs based on differential CO2 exposure. And really, the purpose of that was to correlate a change in EC of that solution with a specific amount of dissolved carbon dioxide. So then we could use our EC data in order to directly calculate cumulative carbon dioxide evolved from these soil cores as a measure of microbial activity. And this is a photograph of that schematic that I just showed. And you see, here's the soil core in the airtight flow cell, and the efflux enters this CO2 trap, which contains a sodium hydroxide solution, and the EC is measured on an EC meter. So now I'm going to discuss the soil core sampling, and we obtained soil cores from two different locations for two independent experiments. Experiment one used soil cores from New Jersey on a relatively young golf course. It was roughly 5 years old, where they were managing Penn A4 creeping bent grass mowed at a height of 0.317 centimeters, and it was on a very sandy, coarse textured soil. In the second experiment, we obtained plugs from the great state of Maine, where they were managing a mixed sward of bent grass and annual bluegrass in an approach mowed at 0.635 centimeters, and it's a more fine-textured, clayey soil. Once the plugs were harvested, they were sprayed with glyphosate and incubated in a greenhouse until the turf grass was dead, and then they were stored at 0 degrees C. And we killed the turf grass because, as I mentioned before, we're monitoring CO2 evolution from these plugs. So we didn't want respiration or photosynthesis to be occurring in these sealed systems, because we strictly wanted to evaluate carbon dioxide from the microorganisms, from microorganism respiration. Now, the procedures, I kind of discussed some of the procedures. I showed the apparatus that we're going to use to evaluate carbon evolution, and I just wanted to point out some differences in the two experiments in the procedures. First of all, for each run, and each run involves three soil cores in three separate incubation chambers. I'll show you a picture of that next. And each run was 7 weeks in the first experiment, for a total of 21 weeks in three runs. So we sampled 9 soil cores in that experiment. The treatments for that first experiment were IMOL, 0C IMOL, which was a carbonless nutrient analog of IMOL as a control, as well as an IMOL and fungicide treatment. And the second experiment, we shortened the run time to 5 weeks. And I'll discuss that in the results section. You'll see why we stopped that after 5 weeks, or why we shortened that run period. For three runs again, for 15 weeks. And the treatments were also different in experiment two. We had the IMOL treatment, the 0C IMOL treatment, and then in this experiment, we had a 2x or a 2x rate of IMOL, and all of the treatments included a fungicide, and the fungicide was chlorothalonil. And we added a fungicide to these because this was a trial of a product, and we were under some pressure to evaluate this product in a way that would be sort of what would be happening in the real world. And fungicides are currently applied in conjunction with products like these. So we wanted to evaluate how a fungicide in this material might react in the soil. So at the start of each run, which I mentioned, as there were three runs per experiment, so for each run, the cores were placed in their respective incubation chambers, or flow cells. Treatments were applied. The EC cells were calibrated, which is exceedingly important because we wanted our EC measurements to be accurate. And sodium hydroxide solutions were prepared and placed in the CO2 traps. And the EC of those solutions was not measured for the first hour. And the reason why we did that is so that any atmospheric air that was contained in the system would have time to flush out, so we wouldn't be measuring CO2 that was introduced while the flow cells were not sealed. During each run, electrical conductivity was measured twice daily, and every 7 days, treatments were reapplied, fresh NaOH solutions were made, and the EC cells were calibrated again. And as I mentioned previously, every time the system was opened or disturbed, I would wait an hour before taking EC measurements to allow any atmospheric air to be flushed. At the end of each run, the cores were removed from the flow cells, and they were sealed in bags and placed at 0 degrees C for storage until they would be evaluated in the future, and I'll show you what we did with those cores afterwards. And then three soil cores of the same soil type were placed back in the flow cells, and we started the process over again. And this is a photograph of the whole setup, and this would be one run. And you see, here's a tank of CO2-free air that we used to ventilate these flow cells. And each flow cell contains a core treated with one of the three treatments, and they're each connected to their own individual CO2 traps where we monitor the EC. The design, we used flow cell as a blocking factor and arranged the treatments in a Latin square. And organic matter was analyzed by using a hacksaw to separate the thatch layer from the cores at 1.7 centimeters for experiment 1 and 2 centimeters for experiment 2. They were dried to constant mass, ground to pass through a 0.25 millimeter sieve, and evaluated for acid detergent fiber content, which would give us a measure of cellulose and lignin content of that organic matter. So in the results, we see the most striking result. Well, first, each data point represents the mean of the three independent runs. And the most striking result is that the fungicide significantly reduced cumulative carbon evolution over time. And we have cumulative carbon evolution on the y-axis, time on the x-axis. We also see that IMOL-treated plugs, there was significantly higher cumulative carbon dioxide evolution versus the positive control, or the 0C carbonless analog. In experiment 2, using the fine textured soil cores, we saw no significant differences between the treatments. And I didn't include trend lines here just for increased clarity. And this was sort of interesting, because when we look at both of these together, on the left are the sand-based soil cores, on the right are the fine-textured clay soil cores. On the left, we see that the absolute magnitude of cumulative evolved C was roughly the same for those not treated with a fungicide, whereas in the fine-textured soil, although they were treated with a fungicide, they still evolved a similar amount of carbon. We didn't have a control here to show what would happen if there was no fungicide applied. But what I would kind of attribute this to is that generally fine-textured soil have a higher amount of soil microorganisms. That is, soil microorganisms tend to live in small pores and along colloidal surfaces. And when we have a finer, so it seems like in this finer textured soil where there would be a higher prevalence of soil microorganisms, and there also might be something with the amount of area covered by the chlorothalonil fungicide. In the coarse textured soil, there might have been a greater proportion of the surface area, of the specific surface area of that soil, was affected by the fungicide, whereas in the finer textured soil, we didn't have that sort of interaction. In terms of organic matter analyses, there were no significant differences in total organic matter of the thatch layer in experiment 1, the sandy soil cores, and there were also no significant differences in lignin or cellulose content of those thatch layers. In the second experiment with the finer textured soil, there were no significant differences in the organic matter content of those thatch layers, yet there were significant differences in the lignin and cellulose content of those thatch layers, with the least amount of lignin and cellulose in IMOL-treated cores, IMOL and fungicide-treated cores, which is really kind of baffling because we saw no differences in carbon dioxide evolution, yet we see differences in organic matter composition. So in conclusion, I can't really make any strong conclusions. It's inconclusive. There's no detrimental effect of IMOL. It wasn't reducing carbon dioxide evolution or enhancing accumulation of lignin or cellulose. There may be some indication of a positive effect in the enhanced carbon evolution in sand-based plugs and a decrease in the lignin and cellulose content in finer textured soil plugs, but there's no clear interpretation of what's happening with these products. And I just want to end this by saying this may be a useful technique for evaluating these products. To my knowledge, nobody has evaluated thatch decomposition exactly in this manner, and there may be some merit to using this method. So I'd like to thank my major professor at Penn State, Dr. Max Schlossberg, my advisory committee, as well as Gary Grant's staff from the ground up, who supported university research with this fairly controversial product, and I really appreciate his support of university research. Thank you.